Hello, everybody. My name is Sandra. Welcome to tonight's call. Now, I have a bit of a presentation. This presentation is really just a starting point. It is a blueprint, but it can go anywhere, anywhere you want it to go, depending on the questions, depending on the group. We are collecting and gathering an energy that is a gestalt, basically, which is the collective of all of us. And based on that, that's going to determine where we are going in this presentation tonight, okay? I do want to mention that every single person on the call is here because you are meant to be here. This was already planned, and you have just basically stepped in and executed what was already part of your contract. Now, we have various avenues we can go down in our contract, various ways to various roads we can go down. So, of course, you could have made a choice not to be here, but that would have been that would have determined other outcomes and other realities for you. Any choice you do make, however, is within your contract. Every single choice that you can make in your life is a potential in your soul contract. There is nothing in your soul contract that has not already been written, and it's just a matter of what you, in your particular focal awareness, decides to exercise in this at this particular time. So it's very much like a computer game. If you're playing an Xbox game, for instance, and you start the game and you're this one figure and you have a choice of jumping on a rock or jumping in a plane, if you jump on the rock, then the program gives you certain other options. Once you jump on the rock, then you can either go into the water or go into the cave or what have you. But if you jump on the plane, you can jump out of the plane, or the plane might crash, and then you end up being in a desert somewhere. So all of these particular outcomes are within the same program. But you as a player only gets to choose one at a time, and depending on each choice, that will determine which way that particular program goes. But somebody, whoever designed and wrote the program, wrote all outcomes. So all of it is already done and determined before you actually play the game. So it's very much like that. This is, you know, as above, so below. It's very much like that, except that a multidimensional and very amplified level. Shift into One presents 2016, The Split Is On. Okay, so what we're going to do, the point of the conversation tonight is to talk about what is going on right now on the Earth, what that means to humanity, and the role that SIO, or Shift into One, has to play in this role. We are, suffice to say, we are at a very, very significant time in our evolution. And we know that. We've known this for a while. Anybody who's on this call knows this. Anybody who's on this call has been likely searching for a while now. You would not be attracting this material if you hadn't been. That is how high vibrational this material is on this planet. And most people who do enter into this material are people who have done a certain amount of work and attract the material to them. I don't bring you to me. Even though I put the call out for this chat, I don't bring you to me. You bring me to you. Okay? I am a hologram. So I know we've heard a lot about what's called a hologram, H-O-L-O-G-R-A-M. I think that's how you spell it. But I am an actual H-O-L-L-O-W-gram. So I am simply an empty shell that is able to tap in to whatever I need to be in any given moment in time for you. So for each and every person on this call, I will be a different person or a different source of information to that individual as and how that individual needs it. Because I am aware of my multidimensional nature, I can access my multidimensional self, and I can be more expressions of me at any given moment in this particular time. So I can be whatever each and every one of you needs to me to be at that particular moment in time. And that may not make a lot of sense, but when you start to do this work and you start to step into your multidimensional nature, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. everything I talk about in talking about the split is on and in this work is what I have experienced myself. Okay, so I've experienced it experientially and vibrationally. So what I mean by that is when I say I've experienced it experientially, that means I've experienced it through feeling in this realm, in this lower body that is known as Sandra. When I speak about saying I've experienced it vibrationally, that means I've experienced it outside of this realm of time and space on other realms and in other levels of awareness. And in that, on those levels of awareness, you don't experience, you know. So what experience and feeling are to this realm, vibration and knowing is to beyond this realm. So everything I speak about is nothing that I've read about, nothing that I've watched. It's what I know from within, experientially and vibrationally. So I hope that helps to explain a little bit of who I am and where I'm coming from. Okay, so 2016. Let's go back, before we talk a little bit about the split, let's go back to December 21st, 2012, known as the shift. Everybody, I think, has heard about the shift and December 21st, 2012. I think everybody in this call knows about that. So, let's move on to the next thing. So what was December 21st, 2012? It was a single point in time and space that served as a call to action for the collective human consciousness, or the masses, to focus our collective awareness to a very crucial and significant something. Now, the reason I'm saying something is because I want to put that question out there to you. I want to know what you think 2012, just a couple of people, if you put your hands up and just let me know what you think 2012 was. You just have to press any number on your dial pad. If anybody is brave enough. Does anybody want to pipe up and let me know? Okay. Jesse and Daniel. Jesse. Hi. What do you think 2012 was?
Well, I can only speak for me, right? For okay. Me, 2012 and beyond, from especially 13 and 14, for me was major transition and awareness, enlightenment, knowledge, mutation into my body, into my being, going out into the world and remembering what this experience is, things like that. I have a friend here, and it related to him kind of similar a little bit too. For me, it would be getting myself into my future position, because it relates to the vehicle that I had an attachment on, and when I saw it, it reminded me of like the term back to the future, right?
Jesse, you are wise above your years.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask Daniel. Daniel, if you can just quickly let us know what you think 2012 was.
It was a massive awakening on a massive, like a massive planetary scale. It's like a massive shift, an awakening of sorts for many, many people who thought of what the world is really all about and really going to become.
Awesome. Okay, and one more. Cindy, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
This is actually Sherry, her daughter.
Hi.
Basically, for me,
it's all the young kids answering.
Yeah, the 2012 for me was like the time where I understood I was being approached by like other beings of light that were telling me the plans for like me as an individual to come to the living space of the heart. And like everybody else said it like perfectly, it's all like integrated as one. Like we are all one, and we are all one being, and you know, it's just the calling for us to like come together and reach that point of like eternity for that. So yeah.
Okay, so so we've had three people answer, and it's all three young kids. It's so wonderful to see that you guys are so in tune with the vibration of the planet. That is just an amazing confirmation of of the youth pointing us in the right direction. Okay, so let's go back. So when we think about 2012 was more of a transition than it was of a shift upward, not downward, and we know that. But the thing is, 2012 was not a shift in the consciousness of humanity. It was a shift in the consciousness of the planet. This shift was about the planet, not about humanity. And that's where we are, that's not very well known. It is because the planet is transitioning that humanity is now being forced to wake up. And that's our end of it. But it's actually the planet that is actually triggering this, and it was actually the transition of the planet moving forward, not humanity. So what does that mean for humanity? It is a wake-up call. That's for sure. So we either transition with her, or like Survivor, we will get thrown off the island, except in this case, it's an entire planet instead of an island. So it's important that we understand that this Earth is our home, or has been our home. And even though we think we are the ones ruling this, we are really governed very much by the planet and Earth and her vibration. She is a very sentient being. She has a heart chakra. She has emotions just like we do. And she is the collective body of all of us together. She is the one who is determining that the shift is taking place, not us. So because of that, we are now being forced to make a decision. Now we fast forward to January 1st, 2016. At the beginning of 2016, 3 years later, we are now in what is called the split in consciousness. We have had 3 years, so the end of 2012, to get our act together and have now entered into what we will call the split. This is absolute. Okay, we've heard so much about this being the most exciting time to be alive. Now, guys, it really is. This is it. December 31st, 2015 was the cutoff point, the last day of the old paradigm, the old reality. What does that mean? The split impacts two factors here: the Earth and humanity. The Earth. Earth is no longer leaving this frequency field. That was the transition period from the shift from 2012 to this point. The Earth has now left and is now living in new Earth consciousness. Well, that's a typo. I see that typo there. So it's a new, the Earth is now living in new Earth consciousness. Like Elvis has left the building, Earth has left this dimension. Earth is now the new Earth. This Earth is no longer this humanity's home. She is done in this reality. What does that mean for humanity? Humanity, as we know it on this Earth, is now extinct. There is no future for humanity at its current state of awareness on this Earth. This is because there is no more Earth to have a future on. We are at a fulcrum point. We have a decision to make. Each and every one of us must make this decision for ourselves. There is nobody that can do this for us. So we can go and get healings, and we can go and have our, you know, our ayahuasca trips and all of those kinds of things. And those are great, and that they can help us to get a sense or a feel for who we are in our most brilliant state, but they are a band-aid effect. We have to do the deprogramming. We have to do that, and we have to do it ourselves. Nobody can do it for you. So it's like when you look in the mirror, and for women, you put makeup on. For men, you shave. Sometimes it's the other way around. It doesn't matter. The point is, when you look in the mirror and you put makeup on or you shave, the mirror is reflecting you back to you. So it's showing you what you need to do. It's showing you your face and showing you how to do it. But you have to do it yourself. It's reflecting you back to you, but you have to put your own makeup on. You have to shave your chin or your mustache, whatever. It won't do it for you. And that's very much what all those healing modalities do and serve. They're not a bad thing. They help you to get to the point where you can get an understanding and a feel and a sense of who you have the potential and the power to be. But at the end of the day, if you rely only on that, you may have a clearing. You may be great for a short time, but it's going to come back unless you deprogram. And that means getting into your belief system, okay? Unless you deprogram all of that, you will not understand the true nature of reality. You will not understand how consciousness works. And if you don't, then what will happen is you'll go right back into the same situation and create it again. And yes, you can continue to go for the healings, but you will never heal yourself. You will just continue to cycle and cycle and cycle and cycle, and you won't raise your vibration and leave this reality. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, please, please ask questions. So what we are now being forced to decide is if we are going with the new earth or not. This is our choice, and we are free to make that choice, and we are free not to make that choice. Okay, there's no good, there's no bad here, there's no better, there's no worse, there's no penalty or punishment. Okay, you're not a bad person if you don't go with the new earth, and you're not a good person if you do. You're not a bad person if you stay, and you're not a good person if you stay. It doesn't matter. There is no good, there is no bad. It's just strictly evolution. Do you still choose to experience more duality, more separation, more ego, more pain, more suffering, or do you want to transcend this way of being altogether? Now, anybody who finds themselves here usually choose the latter. And this is where SIO comes in. But we'll talk a little bit about that later on. So what does this look like? What does a split actually look like? How does this play out physically? I know, I understand this can be very confusing. Oh, okay. I think Jesse has got a question. Jesse, do you have a question?
So for me, I need to resonate, right? I need to make sure what I hear and what I connect with is always where I'm going to be going, and to the part of me where I feel like I am the planet, you know, and I am here, and all I know is what I see. And I mean, what I've noticed too is the term the human is only a description of a characteristic that we portray, and I just need to find why I'm here and things like that, and where it's going and what I can resonate with.
Okay, so this is, and this is welcome to the work, because this is what you start to do when you start to understand, when you start to become conscious, Jesse. So what you're saying is you are not only conscious, but you want to understand the consciousness mechanics behind being conscious. And that's what we're stepping into. That's what we're doing when we are moving into this work. And that is part of understanding what the split is all about. The split is so integrated with SIO, with Shift into One. As a matter of fact, Shift into One there's three components to Shift into One. The first is the intensive, the second is the expansive, and the third is the embodiment. At the intensive level, it is Shift into One or SIO. At the expansive level, it becomes Self is Others, or SIO. At the embodiment level, it becomes The Split is On, or SIO. So it shifts as you shift. So you are starting at the very beginning of the becoming aware of the consciousness mechanics. So just sit back, Jesse, listen to this, okay? See if some of this doesn't answer, because a lot of times what happens when you start to open yourself to this awareness, the answer comes before you even have to ask the question.
Yeah, I feel like my being just wants to input, because if I hold it in, it can be forgotten as well. So
there is no such thing as forgetting. There is no such thing as forgetting at this level of awareness, because forgetting suggests you have to memorize something. Forgetting in memorizing something, okay, means you buy into the concept of time. And once you move into your multidimensional nature, you lose the concept of time and space. So when I access this information, I don't channel this information. I just tap into the higher expression of me that accesses this information at any given point in time. I don't remember it. So all I do is I completely trust. So I just say what I say in that moment. And if somebody asks me to repeat something, I can't repeat it. Because you can never repeat a moment. So what I do is in that new moment, I will access that information. And it may not be the exact same thing, but it shouldn't be, because we've all shifted. No two moments are ever alike. So it will be different. So trust in that. You don't have to remember anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Jesse. Okay, so what does the split actually look like? So again, I understand this can be very, very confusing. We're talking about a split. We're talking about humans now being extinct, not humans becoming extinct. I'm saying we're already extinct, yet here we are sitting in our homes talking to each other. Nothing appears different. Nothing feels different. So I, Sandra, must be a liar. In order to understand what I am talking about here, okay, we must suspend our thinking and our understanding about what we believe this reality to be, okay? So it's at this point, let all of that go just for the 2 hours tonight or 2.5, whatever. Let that go just for now and be open to new possibilities and new ideas. If you don't, you will have no chance of becoming the new human on the new earth, which is what the split is all about. Okay? If you don't, you will stay stuck in this paradigm, this cycle of incarnation after incarnation, lifetime after lifetime. And again, when I say stuck, it's not a bad thing. Okay? I'm not saying, you know, that it's you're a bad person. It's just you will continue to cycle and recycle. So how does it work? Though it appears we are all sharing in this planet together, in truth, there is only you sharing it with other aspects of you. Okay, this is one of the tenets that that make up Shift into One or SIO. Okay, and in quantum reality, in quantum fact, there is no such thing as our world. There is only your world. And everything outside of you is an aspect of you, okay? And that means not just people. That means animals. That means water. That means the buildings. That means the blade of grass. That means the bugs and everything. Everything that you can perceive and observe and quantify and measure with your five physical senses is all an aspect of you, is all born because you are. Okay, nothing exists without you. Okay, so they only exist because you exist. Okay, now that includes the planet, because you are here, you have projected the planet as your home base that houses not just you, but all the other aspects of you that are also sharing this planet with you. And again, when I say aspects, I'm not just talking other humans. I'm talking your pets. I'm talking your pen, your cup of coffee, the chair you're sitting in. Absolutely everything is a projection from you, is an aspect of you. But when you incarnate again as another person, okay, when we transition and come back, we incarnate as another person. We are incarnating on the same planet that we incarnated on in one of our other lives. Okay, so Earth has been a constant throughout all of our lifetimes in this particular human experiment. And I'll talk a little bit about what the human experiment is a little later. So Earth was the constant, the one constant that was what allowed us to have all of our lifetimes. Okay, it was the home for all of our lifetimes. Okay, as of January 1st this year, this is no longer the case. This means that this is your last lifetime on this Earth, in this dimension, at this level of awareness. And that is why I'm saying humans are now extinct. Okay? So for you, this means, for you individually, this means that when you transition from this particular incarnation, if you do not go with Earth, if you do not ascend with Earth, you will continue the cycle of incarnation, but it will be on another planet. It will be a brand new planet with no karma, no emotional baggage. The Earth grid will be a completely clean, empty slate. Okay? This means that for anyone not ascending, they will be starting the human incarnation cycle all over again and will be incarnating many, many, many times. So if people don't take advantage of ascension this time around, they will be incarnating on another planet, Earth-like planet, okay, and will now start all over again. When we have incarnated on this planet, the planet already had a certain had certain memory and certain karma. The Akashic records had a lot of cellular information that was part of our programming and our consciousness coding each time we incarnated on this planet. And that was part of our journey into the human experiment on this planet, in this particular experiment. But now, when we transition, when we so-called die, if we do not ascend, we will be starting on another planet. And because there will be no karma, the Earth grid is completely clean. So we now will be starting all over again, which means we will not have a chance to ascend for a long time. So for anyone born this year, if this is their first incarnation, they will only have this incarnation on this planet. Whereas you and I had many incarnations on this planet, because you and I, there's nobody here that was born after January 1st of this year. So you and I had many incarnations on this planet and had the opportunity and will have the opportunity to never have to go to another planet and start all over again. Okay, so when we started on this planet. People who are born this year are starting on this planet, but will go to another planet. So that's one of the big differences. And this is why it is likely that most people born into the experiment at this time, from this year forward, will be first or second timers just beginning their sojourn into the human experiment, meaning they will be what we call young souls. If they're entering into the human experiment at this time, okay, they are young souls that are going to very, very likely move on to another planet. They are very likely not going to ascend in this lifetime and are going to move to the other planet in playing out the human experiment for themselves, for their particular soul experience. Now this is where Shift into One comes in. Okay? Shift into One, or SIO for short, stands for See How Isness Fuels Transformation, and One stands for Our Now Experience. Okay? And what SIO is, what its purpose is to assist those who have written in their soul contract the potential of making this their last lifetime, bringing the human experiment to a close as they become the new human for the new Earth, which is, as we've already discussed, already there. It's ready and waiting for us. The thing about SIO, or Shift into One, is it doesn't teach you. It shows you through experience, which is feeling, and vibration, which is knowing who you are. So it shows you who you are, where you are, why you are where you are, so that you can choose to go wherever you choose from here. This work is not about judging. This work is not about telling you what to do. This work is only here to help you understand what is going on and give you your options so that you make the choice yourself. It is entirely 100% up to you. So what is SIO? SIO is a not from this world understanding into the nature of reality that explains the consciousness mechanics and the divine intelligence behind the design of the human experiment. Yes, we are an experiment. We are an experiment in conscious creation. So while we are here to actually consciously create our reality, and I'm sure everybody on this call has heard about consciously creating your reality, how we do that is the crux of this experiment. And we do that as humans, we do that through emotions. What humans are, what our purpose here is we are an energetic, emotional experience experiment. That's what we are. We are here to experience emotions. It's 100% all about our emotions. That's what makes humans unique and distinct in comparison to other beings in other experiments, in other levels of awareness, on other planets, in other forms of existence. There is more intelligent life out there, and I'm sure that every single person on this call knows that. In fact, there's more intelligent life on this planet than humans are. Animals are one. Dolphins, whales, elephants, and bees, and frogs. Believe it or not, these guys have a higher and more advanced awareness than we do. And they are here to help us understand who we are through their vibration. So we are here to experience emotions. Now, when we talk about you create your own reality, a lot of people, like I said, have heard about that. Most people think we create our reality through our thoughts. We do not create our reality through our thoughts. Creating, you create your own reality, I call it creality for short, is actually a two-step process. Thoughts help to visualize your reality. Your emotions actually physicalize your reality. Okay, so thoughts show you, thoughts are what entertain the potentials and the possibilities. Remember we talked about the choices, when we have choices, okay? And in this soul contract, we have various roads that we can go down, various possibilities. So our thoughts help us to visualize and imagine those possibilities at any particular junction in our life. It's our emotions that actually bring that possibility to life. It's the vibration of the emotion that actually creates the solidity that makes this world. So the chair that you're sitting on, believe it or not, the chair that you're sitting on is actually brought about through your emotional state, not through your mental state, through your emotional state. Thoughts visualize, emotions physicalize. Okay, now you couldn't have an emotion without a thought. So thoughts are instrumental, they're crucial. Okay, thoughts are the basis of an emotion. But thoughts alone will not create the reality. It is the emotion, which is the thought, and the emotion is the mind's interpretation of the pure feeling of love. So an emotion is actually the experienced thought. So emotions are how you interpret your thought and what you feel about that thought. That's what brings this world to life. That's what actually manifests the physicality portion of the world. Okay? And so that's why it's so important, so important that we become aware of our thoughts and our emotions. We cannot consciously create our reality until and unless we do. You create your own reality is happening whether you are conscious of it or not. Okay? Most people are unconscious of it. So that is why they are victims. Consciously creating your reality is when you move from victim to victor. Okay? When you move from warrior to wizard. When you get to actually choose what you want to experience in your life. And in order to do that, you must become aware of your thoughts and your emotions. And then when you do, you are then able to manipulate them and direct them in the way and in the direction you want in order to consciously create and bring about and manifest a physical reality that is in your choosing. As Albert Einstein said, we cannot solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them. So the same philosophy applies here. In order to understand who we truly are, we must be able to separate ourselves from it. We must be able to rise above and beyond it. That is why this work originates off-world. It gives an aerial view that allows for a broader yet highly focused understanding that is neutral and unbiased as well as microscopic in clarity and in detail. Okay, SIO's source is source. SIO's vibration is source, which means it is conscious creation in totality. It's all that is. As such, it holds within its vibration and intelligence, but is not limited to the language of light that goes back to the origins of the design of the human experiment. Okay, so what this allows us to do, what we actually are doing when we move into this work is literally like sitting at the round table of beings or the creator gods that designed the original experiment. When you step into understanding this level of awareness, when you start to move into becoming aware or being part of that, of the creator gods that designed the original experiment, you start to step into the awareness that you actually created this experiment. You yourself created this experiment and everything in between. So you created the experiment, you created all of everything that came out of the experiment. So in doing this work, we're almost reverse engineering. It's almost like we are taking it apart to understand how we can redo it, remake it. But this time, remake it even better and to our liking. I do want to reiterate that even though you have the potential of making this your last lifetime in this human experiment, you still can choose not to exercise that option. A lot of people are very fearful that if they go, what's going to happen to their family? You know, they still have, how about their husband or their kids? They're not too awake and aware and you're concerned for them and so you want to stay back for them. And the truth is, when you move into the new earth, you become your multidimensional self, you become your higher self, you become the higher expression of the lower expression that you are in this reality here. When you become that higher self, even if your children do not ascend, you still, as a multidimensional self, can go and experience and be with them, not in an incarnation, not in a lower vibrational self because you have transcended that, but you can still experience them. You can still be with them. You're not saying goodbye. There is no finality. You are everything. When you become the new human for the new earth, you can experience all of yourself. You get to experience yourself in more than one place, in more than one time. In this level of awareness, time and space does not exist. Time and linearity does not exist. You are part of a reality that is very, very, very different than the reality that exists here. It's so different that our mind cannot conceive of it. In order to understand this reality, you have to open up. You have to undo what you have done that has stopped you from being it. That's how you get into that awareness. So there's nothing to do. There's everything to undo. And there's everything to allow in that undoing. And that's what this work is all about. This work is not actually doing. It's actually allowing yourself to be done. So what happens in this work is you are actually merging with your higher self. And in doing that, you are trusting in your higher self to bring you whatever it is you need to do, whatever it is you need to be brought in front of you to help you undo what you thought or believed you were. And as you undo that, the undoing is the releasing of the emotions. And as you undo that, you get closer and closer into merging into higher self, and then you start to experience exactly what I'm talking about. You start to experience your multidimensional nature. You start to experience things like time bending, time slipping, time breaks, time lapses. You start to see other realities. You'll start to see beings glitching in and out. You'll start to see that because you're starting to raise your awareness to where those beings are now able to manifest, and you're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until you transcend altogether. So this is a process, and this is a process by which you will raise and lower and raise and lower and until you continue to raise more and more and more and more, then you're lowering. So for every step, you may take two steps backwards, or, you know, for every two steps forward, you may take one step backward, but you still will continue to move forward as long as you choose to continue to allow yourself to be done, which is to continue to allow your emotions to come up and be released from your being. So that the tenets, I talked a little bit about the tenets of SIO. So there are seven tenets that make up the foundation of Shift Into One. Everything in our reality, including every single perspective that can possibly be imagined, okay? Now, that's the mental plane. That's where thought is, okay? Stems from these seven tenets, okay? No exceptions. Every single perspective you could possibly have in this reality stems from these seven tenets. As SIO is really a fourth dimensional clearinghouse, SIO, these tenets, are also the foundation for 4D. What is so special about these tenets? They are the actual emotional and mental physics of the human experiment. They are as living and breathing as you are. They are as alive as you are. In fact, they are so integral to your existence, you could not be here without them. Okay? You could not. You simply could not exist without them. Just like there are fixed constructs, such as gravity and breathing, that govern our physical third dimensional reality, there are also fixed constructs that govern our emotional and mental or fourth dimensional reality. These tenets are those fixed constructs, the foundation of 4D. In actuality, they are actually more integral to you than the 3D constructs of gravity and breathing, because they are part of the 4D constructs that actually bring the 3D constructs to life. Indeed, without the 4D constructs, the 3D constructs couldn't exist in this reality. There wouldn't even be a reality for the 3D constructs without the 4D constructs first. I need to take a drink. That's a lot of constructs. So in other words, 4D creates 3D. Okay, so as we're starting to raise our level of awareness, we are actually moving back up. So now that we have pretty much got a grip on third dimensional reality and the constructs that govern the third dimensional reality, we have now moved to the level of awareness where we're going into the fourth dimensional constructs that govern this reality. I think Jesse has a question. Jesse, do you have a quick question?
Hey, yeah. My insight is, what do we focus on? What would be the best perspective to have if we want to be fifth dimensional always.
So what perspective do you want to focus on? You want to focus on having no perspective at all. So because there is no such truth and no such thing as truth in fourth dimension. Okay. Fourth dimension is where our thoughts and our emotions live. Fourth dimension is where the duality and the polarity of the positive and the negative and the dark and the light live. Fourth dimension is where perspective lives. There is no such thing as truth in fourth dimension. There is only perspective. Truth cannot exist here because of the fact that we have a duality-based existence. Truth can only exist in a unity-based existence. And when you move to that to the unity-based existence, which is 5D and beyond, there is only one truth, and that one truth is we are one. The law of one. That's the one law that transcends every single reality everywhere. There are certain laws that govern this human experiment, and there are certain laws within those laws that will govern the different levels of awareness of this human experiment. But there is one, and there are laws that will govern other levels of awareness in other experiments on other planets, on other universes, in other realities. There is one law that permeates every and transcends every single reality, every single form and shape of existence anywhere, and that is the law of one. Okay, so what perspective should you focus on? Truly, all you need to focus on is what's in front of you. Whatever is in front of you is for you. So when you start to understand these tenets and there are seven tenets, okay? And the most important tenets in doing the work at this time are tenet number three and tenet number four. Tenet number three is the most important relationship you will ever, ever have, without exception, okay, is the relationship you have with your higher self, okay? This is all you came into this world with. This is all you leave this world with. Okay, so your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your family are not as important. They mean nothing in comparison to the relationship with your higher self. I do not want to say they are trivial. When I say nothing, what I mean is they would be nothing if you didn't have if you didn't have this relationship with higher self first. Okay, so higher self brought you those aspects. Okay, they come through higher self. They come through higher self and they leave through higher self. Okay, so the most important relationship you will ever have, bar none, is the relationship you have with higher self. When we talk about co-creating in this reality, one of the things that's widely misunderstood is co-create. We think we co-create with the people around us. So we think we're co-creating with our class or with our business partners. We are not. We are co-creating with our higher self. Co-creation is a vertical relationship, not a horizontal relationship. So anything that you see outside of your world, outside of you, is created with you and your higher self. And when I talk about you and your higher self, when I write about it in terms of the material in this work, I will represent higher self, you, as a capital Y-O-U, and then the lower self version will be small Y-O-U. And that just helps to bring dimensions and try to our language is so linear, it's very hard to talk about the nonlinear component of ourself on such a flat surface and in a linear world. So language, writing is, in using capitalizing of certain terms and certain wordings, allows me to try to tap into our multidimensional sense of who we are in the linear world. So if ever you see that, that's why, because I'm trying to express the higher self version of whatever it is I'm referring to at that time. So co-creation is a vertical relationship as opposed to horizontal. Now, the tenet number four and higher self, the most important relationship you will ever have is that you have with your higher self. So that goes back to back with number four, tenet number four, which is every single person, place, situation, event, circumstance, and or thing is an aspect of you that higher self you brought to lower self you through your five physical senses, okay, to manifest physically through sight, sound, touch, taste, and whatever the next one is. See? I don't know. There's five senses. But through those five senses, smell, sorry. Through those five physical senses, okay, higher self brings that to you to help you show you who you are at any given moment in time so that you can choose if you want to stay as that or become something else. Okay, so every person, place, situation, circumstance, event, and or thing is an aspect of you that higher self you brings to lower self you to help you choose where you want to go. We will never stay the same. We cannot stay the same. The one constant in life is change. We all know that. We will never stay the same. No 2 seconds are the same. When things happen in your life, for every single thing, even the blade of grass, every single blade of grass, every single individual blade of grass is brought to you by higher self. Every single tree, every single leaf, every single rock is orchestrated and divinely planned for you to show you who you are and to play a specific role. So that you can choose, do I want to stay like this? Or do I want to change and become something else? Now, anybody who's on this call is obviously on this call because they want to shift. They want to move into becoming somebody else. This reality is no longer serving who you are becoming. And that is why you're on this call. Your higher self, by being on this call, your higher self has already started to work with you. Your higher self contacted my higher self and through that has brought you to this moment and attracted somebody by the name of Sandra into your reality to show you how this reality works so that you can become conscious about how to create this reality. And it's only when you become conscious of how to create this reality that you can then choose to change it. Otherwise, you will remain unconscious and you will not be in your power position to be able to choose to change it. That is why tenets 3 and 4 are extremely important. So again, number 4 is every person, place, situation, circumstance, event, and or thing is an aspect of you that higher self brings lower self you to help you in this group, because we're all here to move to ascension. Why these aspects are in front of you is to help you clear your emotions so that you can get to 0 point. So you can get to that neutral state. When you get to that 0 point, it's only when you get to that 0 point that you also get to 0 point gravity. And this is what a lot of quantum physics talks about, that 0 point state. Okay, from a consciousness creates perspective, okay, which is the next reality that lies beyond you create your own reality. Beyond this reality, when we move into 5D, we actually move into a consciousness creates reality as opposed to you create your own reality, okay? So the consciousness creates reality is the level of awareness that created this reality, that you create your own reality, okay? So when we are moving into that 0 point gravity, okay? That's that dark matter, that black hole that science refers to. That's also the 97 or 98% junk DNA that science also refers to. We as a humanity are so limited in our mind that we are actually arrogant. We are ignorant. Actually ignorant to our arrogance, but we are so limited that we actually, because we can't explain it, we call it junk. When in actuality, that 97 or 98% is actually our quantum nature. It's our multidimensional self. And as you step into doing this work, as you start to clear your emotions, you actually start to tap into that 97 or 98% junk DNA. You actually start to activate the DNA and start to become quantum yourself. You actually start to experience your quantum nature. And when you start to do that, you start to get glimpses of your fifth dimensional self, or your higher self. And when you do that, that's when you can actually start to experience other galactic beings. Because one, when you are in your multidimensional self, okay, in your higher self, you get to experience yourself amongst other multidimensional beings. And that's the galactic self. That's the galactic awareness. That's when you get to actually experience other beings on other planets and actually get to travel. And when I say the word travel, I don't mean travel the way we travel here. But you get to share in it. It becomes very hard when you start to describe beyond this reality. The words here are so limited. They don't really explain that level of awareness. And travel is the best word I can use at this point, but it's not really the word because you get there instantly. It's very much like in our dream state. Oftentimes we dream and, you know, one minute we're in a plane and the next minute we're on the ground and we didn't have the experience of actually landing, of flying down and, you know, bumping and hitting the plane, the ground and walking out. It's just all of a sudden we're one second we're on the plane, the next second we're on the ground. And that's because when we are in our dream state, we're in fourth dimension. And when we're in fourth dimension, time and space take on very, very different properties. Time and space still exists, but they take on very, very different properties. And you can actually travel faster than the speed of light, which is a third dimensional property. You actually travel as fast as thought. So it is not really the right word, but the minute you think of something in your dream state, bang, you're automatically there. In third dimension, time and space, time is linear, and time and space are linear, very much like a ruler. It's a line. In fourth dimension, in the lower area of fourth dimension, time and space are actually circular. And that is why science talks about bending time. Or warping time. And that's because it's circular. As you move to mid 4D to upper 4D, time actually starts to become like a funnel. And then it becomes spherical. And then when you move into 5D, time collapses altogether and becomes back to that dot where you are everything and everything is you, and time and space does not exist. So I hope that makes sense to people, because I know it can be very, very, very confusing. But it is, you do get to experience a lot of this as you start to raise your vibration. And that's why in your dream state, you will start to have bleed throughs of other incarnations, because you're slipping, your timelines are starting to overlap. And you will also start to be introduced to beings who exist in those dimensions, who you cannot see in third dimension, because third dimension is too solid, too dense a vibration, and it's not compatible with the life forms that are in the fourth dimension. But as you start to raise your vibration, you start to raise your compatibility and start to experience them as well. And that's part of the really, really, really exciting, that's only one of the really exciting things about doing this work. So, just like gravity, whether we knew it or not, has always been a part of this reality, so have these tenets. These tenets have been driving our reality from the very beginning of the human experiment. Whether we knew it or not, we have been using them every single day of our life. Just like we don't normally think about breathing, yet we do it every single second of our life, we have also been unconsciously using the seven tenets. The only difference is we didn't know they existed. If we didn't even know we had an emotional and mental plane, how could we possibly know how to use them? Now, granted, the emotional and mental plane are non-physical realities, so it's harder to recognize them. But just because we can't see them doesn't make them non-real. Non-physical does not mean non-real. One only needs to experience a sad feeling or a negative thought to know that there is a non-physical part of us that is very, very real. Even though we can't see a sad feeling or a negative thought, we sure can experience them. And even though we can't see wind, we sure can feel the effects of wind. Wind is a very third dimensional part of construct of this reality, and we can see the effects of what it does, but we can't see the wind. We can feel the effects of what it does too, but we can't see it. So what we're actually experiencing with the wind is non-physical. Actually, I shouldn't say it's non-physical. It's actually physical and non-physical. It's actually physical in that we can see it. Okay, we can certainly see it, but it's non-physical in that we can feel it, what it's doing to us. So actually, it's a combination of third and fourth dimension. So it's actually a very cool thing. So even though we can't see these things, we can feel them. So we have simply not been at the level of awareness. Oops. Oh, sorry about that. We simply have not been at the level of awareness to understand that there was a reality in which our thoughts and our emotions lived. We could not possibly conceive that it is the non-physical reality that is actually responsible for creating the physical reality that we do perceive as real. And since it is our non-physical reality that dictates what we experience in our physical reality, these seven tenets are more precious to us than gold or diamonds. At least they should be. I guess what we could say is what gold and diamonds are to this reality are these seven tenets are to fourth dimensional reality. SIO's mission statement is to transcend fear by deprogramming our beliefs so that we become responsible for our thoughts, which are 4D, words, which are 3D, feelings, which are 4D, and actions, which again are 3D. Okay, so for those who are here to make this their last lifetime, they must transcend fear. All fear. We can only do that by deprogramming our beliefs so that we become responsible for our thoughts, words, feelings, and actions. Deprogramming is a two-step process. There's two parts to deprogramming. There's deconstructing and there's decoding. Okay, so deconstructing is where we call awareness to our thoughts. Okay, so that's the 4D component. Okay, we call awareness to our thoughts. And so on that level, because it's our thoughts in the fourth dimension, that's actually the mental plane. Thoughts govern the mental plane in the fourth dimension. Okay, so we must call awareness to our thoughts. Now, that is, when we do that, we are actually starting to deconstruct the deprogram, deconstruct the process, okay, the deprogramming process of our belief system, okay. When we move into the decoding works on the emotional plane, okay, and that's the feeling plane, or the feeling body. So we have, just as we have a physical body, we have an emotional body, we have a mental body, we have a spiritual body. So in doing this work, what we are actually doing is we are working with the emotional and the mental bodies in conjunction with the physical body, as is manifested by the physical body. Okay? So the decoding is the emotional release work that takes place as part of the deprogramming process. Okay, so the deprogramming is a two-part process, deconstructing, which is the thoughts and the mental plane, and decoding, which is the feelings and the emotional plane. Okay, now this work is not linear, so it's never one or the other, and it's never, you know, one level and then you move on to the another level. Again, because we're dealing in fourth dimension, we're dealing with time in a very different way. And we're also dealing with fifth dimension because we're bringing the fifth dimension vibration into this fourth dimensional work. because remember, SIO source is source. So you're bringing the fifth dimensional unity consciousness vibration into the fourth dimensional work. So when we are doing this work, it's never linear. So you will be doing some deconstructing, you will be doing some decoding, then you'll be doing some decoding, then you'll be doing some deconstructing, and then they will overlap, and then you will do them together. So it's never one or the other, it's always one and the other, or everything all the time. Once you understand how the emotional and mental planes work and have been controlling your life to this point, you will then have the ability to take back that control through the process that we just talked about, okay, the mental and the through the decoding and the deconstructing, as you move from victim to victor. Through the deconstructing, again, which takes place on the mental plane, and the decoding, which takes place on the emotional plane, we can now consciously apply the emotional and mental physics to our advantage. Okay? So now they become our tool. When we move from victim to victor, we now use them as our tool. And the more we apply this work, the more we activate our multidimensional and our true nature. And this is why this work is often referred to as applied quantum physics. It actually catapults you into your quantum self. So when we are, when we do this work, the one of the very, very cool things about the deprogramming process is as we became programmed, okay, we started to build our karma and build our emotional charge account, which is what karma is. It's our emotional charge account. So what SIO does is actually deprograms the programming. Okay? So we have been programmed through, up to this point, as we have descended into this reality, we have been programmed. For every lifetime we have taken and for every level we have descended, we have become more and more programmed. What SIO actually does, it's the actual vibration and awareness to actually deprogram the programming through the deconstructing and the decoding process. So we are actually unminding the mind, if you will, okay, in this work. So how we do this, SIO understands the mind and the programming process so well, it knows how to turn the mind on itself, but not in a way that's threatening. Not in a way that creates separation and fear. Okay? And in order to be able to do that in a way that doesn't create fear or separation, you must know how the mind works, and you must also know how the mind was constructed and have been a part of that construction process in order to be able to do this. So in this way, SIO can actually speaks to the mind, through the mind, with the mind, around the mind, to get beyond the mind. And the mind doesn't even know what's happening. That's the really, really cool thing about this work. You don't even know you're coming undone. You will see it in you'll see the results of it in your awareness. Because again, 4D manifests 3D. So you will see your 3D world will eventually, as you start to do the work, your 3D world will actually shift and change to start to reflect the shift that's happening on the 4D plane. Okay, so with the tenets, okay, what this work asks you to do is, once you start to open yourself up to the tenets, I'm not asking you to believe anything, I'm not asking you to remember these tenets, none of that. What this work asks you to do is to be open and allow these tenets to enter into your being. It will speak to whatever level of awareness it needs to speak to in order to start to impact your reality. Okay? Because again, guys, you are here because your higher self already called you here. So that means you've already agreed to this. This is a done deal. And the fact that you are listening to this right now is your physical self, your physical acknowledgement that your higher self gave you. So basically, by being here, you've said, okay, higher self, I want to enter into this now. And your higher self has basically extended his or her hand out to you. And by being here listening to this, you have basically extended your hand out to him or her. And what my job is, okay, my job is to be that in between until you have a solid grip, until your hands are solidly entrenched together. And then you get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer together. And eventually I step back. And I'm out of your life altogether. So the ultimate objective of my work is to become obsolete in your life. If I do that, that means you have transcended the need for 4D altogether. And you have transcended the need for SIO altogether. And when you do that, okay, there is no more learning. When you move into 5D, there is no more learning. We learn here. 4D, we learn here. And how we learn is through suffering. Okay, we learn who we are through learning who we are not, and we learn who we are not through suffering. When you move into 5D, you learning is not the paradigm by which 5D you experience 5D. 5D, you create through expansion and expand through creation. That's the paradigm on which 5D exists. It is not a learning, and everything you have, everything you need is all within you. There's not a book you need to read. There's not a video you need to watch. There's nothing else you need to do except expand into your being. But back to the tenets for a second. When we start to be open to these tenets, again, this work does not ask you to remember anything. This work says, okay, just be open to these tenets. Let's discuss them in class. Let's be open to these tenets. Then go out and live your life. Don't worry about a thing. Get up the next day the way you normally get up, go to work the way you normally go to work, and watch the work do you. Watch the situations start to come to you, to show you. And in those moments, that's where the true deprogramming happens. It cannot happen when you're thinking about or wanting it to happen. The actual deprogramming, the actual deconstructing and decoding must happen by catching you in the act, so to speak. It cannot happen in, you know, how we can sit in a room together and we can meditate, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do and creates a sense of peace. But if we try to clear and think about a negative experience in a classroom setting and we try to create the emotion to bring that negative experience to life in that moment, we are actually not deprogramming. We are actually adding another layer on. Because what we're doing is we're giving life to another level of emotion. All we are doing is bringing our interpretation of a former moment to that moment. And in doing so, in creating that new emotion, we are actually adding another level on. So we're actually not clearing. We're actually accumulating. What you need, what we do with this work is you move, you become aware, you become aware of the tenets, you forget about, you know, don't have to focus on them, you go and live your life, and then something happens, and then all of a sudden, the tenet will come to you, and you will start to, in that moment, do one of the exercises, or call awareness to one of the tenets, and in that moment, you are bringing the vibration of the deconstructing and the decoding to that program, and that is what creates the deprogramming. You're catching it in the act. So you're actually affecting the matrix in the moment. And that is all you can do. There is no such thing as anything other than the moment, than the here and now. So that's why thinking of an emotion, trying to bring one up, is only creating more, because it's not the true emotion. It's not the true deprogramming. It's actually creating more conditioning, not less. Now, it doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. Everything we've done to this point, every single thing that we have done to this point, all the work we have done, all the spiritual work we have done to this point, so it has been for a reason and has brought us to this point. So it's not to say that any work that we have done to this point is for naught or is no good. That would be be completely inaccurate, and I do not want to in any way discount all of the great work that is out there. It is actually very, very necessary for us to have done that work to get to this point. When Rene Cartier said, "I think, therefore I am," okay, we bought into thinking we were our thoughts. In SIO, we are moving from I think, therefore I am, to I feel, therefore I am. That is why we must work with our emotions, okay? We worked with creating belief systems in I think, therefore I am. And now we are working with our emotions to deprogram our belief systems. But we would never, ever be here to get to understanding that we are not our thoughts, we are not our emotions, if we first didn't believe we were our thoughts and our emotions. We had to believe we were our thoughts and our emotions in order to understand that we are not our thoughts and our emotions. So all of the work that we have done to this point is very crucial to getting us to where we are here and now. And it was very much a stepping stone to this point in the here and now. So I hope I've made myself very, very clear. And it does not mean that we still won't be doing that work, because we still may need to have further clarity and further understanding on that level of awareness. But what it does mean now is you will never need to search anymore. Everything will just drop in front of you. As you start to work with higher self, what you're saying now is, okay, higher self, I trust you. I trust you to bring the next thing and put the next thing in front of me to show me what it is I need to clear in order to get closer and closer and closer to zero point. So if that means you need to go back and do some of those modalities you did before, then that's what it will mean. You will be shown that if you need to go through, you know, to get, you know, past life regression, if that needs to happen, higher self will show you. If higher self wants you to read another book or watch a video, higher self will show you that. You will no longer need to search. When we seek, that is our mind. So we are working in 4D. Okay, when we work with higher self, we are working in 5D. So we are allowing ourselves to trust higher self to show us the next step. So how I work with my higher self, I actually have stopped thinking. I don't think anymore. All of my thinking, as I have basically given up to higher self. I just execute now. And the pressure is so off, because when I used to think, I used to make a lot of mistakes. And that was the source of my suffering. Every time I thought to do something, I ended up suffering. So when I started to become aware of this process and stepping into higher self, I completely gave it up to her. And I said, okay, you know what? That's it. I'm done. You can do all my thinking for me. And why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you? When you know now that you have access to higher self and she or he is working with you so much that he or she is the one who brought me to you. This is your higher self, guys. This is your higher self who brought you this work, who brought you somebody called Sandra in your life for this work. So this is not about me. This is 100% about you, okay? So now that you know, this is your proof that you have higher self working with you. And now that you know that, and knowing that higher self has your soul contract, okay, is responsible and is the holder, the keeper of your soul contract, which means she or he has access to every possibility, to every potentiality that is a part of your contract. Why wouldn't you give it up to higher self? Why wouldn't you say, okay, you know what? I'm not sure what I should do here. I don't know. I'm at a pivotal point. Should I take this job or should I stay with my old job? I don't know what to do. Look to higher self to show you the answers. I promise you guys, when you do this work and you start to step into trusting higher self, she or he will always, 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 always show you and give you an answer. All you have to do is be open to it. That's all you have to do, is allow it. Now, it may not be what you want to hear, especially in the beginning. So, and that's where the trust comes in, okay? So in trusting higher self, it's really important to understand, okay, that higher self always, always has your back. Always has your back. And number two, will never, ever give you anything you can't handle. Higher self will never give you anything you can't handle. But I guarantee you, it will feel like you can't. Okay? So even though it feels like it, doesn't mean It is. I can promise you, you never get more than you can handle, but I also promise you, it will feel like it is more than you can handle. That's what's needed. It's got to feel like it's more than you can handle in order to break you. If you are here to deprogram and shave off the layers of our emotional situation onions, which is our belief system, we're basically shaving off layer after layer after layer after layer, okay? And if you are to do that, okay, you literally are shattering through armor, okay? And that is extreme and extraordinary and can be very, very fear-based in the beginning if you don't trust in higher self. So it's very, very, very important that we learn, first of all, that we trust in higher self, and second, that we understand she or he will never give us anything we can't handle, okay? And third, that it's supposed to feel that way, because in that feeling that way, that's what calls up the release. When you feel you can't handle it, that's when you surrender, okay, and release the emotion. And it's in that release of the emotion, it's in the process of that release that you're literally decoding your physical structure, your anatomical structure. Your body is physically changing. Your atoms and your molecules are physically changing, okay? And when they do that, you actually start to create more space because they lose their density. Your atoms and your molecules start to lose the density. They become lighter and lighter, and they become, from a physical standpoint, they become smaller and smaller. So then in that space, now you have greater, the smaller they become, the more space in between them there is. And in that space comes light. And light is information. Light language, that is information, and that's where you start to get awareness and knowing. And that's the knowing that I'm speaking about when I talk about, you know, the vibration, when I say that this work is experiential and vibrational, that's what I'm talking about. So that's why it has to feel like it's more than you can handle, because if it's not, you won't go through this shattering, this literal shattering of your emotion. You won't go through that process. That painful process. That's why it has to feel like it's more than it can handle. So, Jesse, I think you have a question.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of stuff is really getting to me. I just want to just get out some things that some experience of my own and see where I can go from here. I have one experience, and it's like tapping into the reality or the earth or the people on that that are around me, and able to engage with them. Like I for instance, like around 2013, 2012, there was this time when I was sitting outside my house and it was summertime, it was beautiful, a new video game had come out, and I'm like, I wish that like life was more like that video game. And then all of a sudden, these neighbors of mine I've never met before, I never talked to them before. They lined up there. He had a Porsche and they had a nice Audi, and they lined up in front of the road, and they just stopped. And then they said, "Are you coming?" And I didn't. And I'm like, at the time it was like, it was very awakening. I mean, obviously my spirit was open to that. To that existence, and mm-hmm. I got into the Porsche, and then some part of me pulled myself out, and what I'm trying to get to is like, how do I tap into certain realities that exist?
So what you're doing is you are trying to, I would say, mindize or mentalize and make sense of your experience, because you want to get there, okay? You just want to get there, and you can't get anywhere until you allow where you already are, which is here. Okay, so you're getting these experiences, which are awesome. But enjoy those experiences and share in those experiences in that moment, okay? It's those experiences are happening for you in that moment. They're not happening for something else to happen to you in the next moment. They're only happening for you to have that moment. If you are focused on, okay, what can I do with this? You're not embracing this moment, and you're not allowing the experience of this moment. And if you're not allowing the experience of this moment, you can't change your that what I was just speaking about with the decoding. If you can't be in this moment and allow yourself to experience this moment, you will not go through the body change that you need to go through that prepares you for the next moment. And that's one of the dangers when we think, right? We are if we're not in our moment and allowing ourselves to experience that moment, and we're thinking ahead and we're thinking about the next moment, okay, whatever experience that we're having at that moment is all for naught. So we will continue to cycle. We'll continue to get that experience. Higher self will continue to bring that to you to give you the opportunity to experience it. But you can't, because you're stuck. You can't go to the next experience, the next level, until you actually experience this one first. Then you can get to the next one. So you could be cycling and experiencing the same thing over and over and over again, because you're like, okay, I've got this experience, now what, now what, now what? But you're not experiencing this experience because you're so busy experiencing the now what. And you're trying to get ahead. You can't get ahead if you can't be where you are. Do you see what I mean?
I see it's partial. It's like, for me, it was like, I sent off like a nervous signal to something that pulled me out, because I felt like I was going into a new world that I wouldn't. And when I think about it now, I think about it so silly, because that's where I want to be. But then it's like we have a fixation of the past or our.
Well, you can't. Okay, so that's
mundane. This mundane experience.
Okay, so you can't get where you want to be, Jesse, until you can accept where you are. So that is part of what this work is all about. So that's really what you're saying, is you're ready now to step in and understand what that means, because you. And that's where a lot of people, you know, who enter into this work are. We know there's something more and we want to go there, but we are too caught up in trying to rationalize it. And again, what I call mindize it, and can't get there as a result. We have to move. We have to go beyond our mind. We're moving from I think, therefore I am, to I feel, therefore I am. And this work actually really explores the I feel, therefore I am. So what I would say is just enjoy the experience. Part of understanding, and again, when we enter this work, part of the experience is speaking to higher self in the process. So honor the process, enjoy the process, okay? Cut yourself some slack. There's no rush. You're exactly on time all the time, and everything is unfolding exactly as it needs to unfold. Okay, we need to trust in that. Okay, so there's no urgency in that sense. The only reason we have a sense of urgency, like the split, okay, the only reason we have a sense of urgency is because we need to have, because we're so bound by this time space construct, we need to have a feeling that time is running out in order for us to do something. And that is why we have that in this reality. Beyond this reality, we do not have time and space. So even when we say, you know, we have a year left or whatever, a year when we're in fourth dimension can actually be 10 years, but look like only 1 year. It doesn't matter. It's arbitrary. When you start to work with fourth dimension and fifth dimension, it's absolutely arbitrary. We are actually moving so fast in this world. That's another reason why people are getting divorced in this lifetime, and why people are changing jobs. They say that we have five, not just five jobs in one lifetime. We have five careers in one lifetime. And that's much to do with the fact that time is speeding up and that we are combining five lifetimes in one lifetime. So even the concept of divorce is not a bad thing. You are outgrowing that particular journey and that particular experience and moving on to the next one. That's actually what divorce is. At the conscious, when you look at the higher awareness and when you're outside of the human experiment and you're looking at it from a consciousness creates experience perspective, that's what it actually is. You actually outgrew and did not need to have a single partner in that entire lifetime. You actually could put in another lifetime in this lifetime. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's some of the things that we start to talk about and get into when you start to experience in this work, when you actually do this work. So we talk a lot about fear in this work. We talk a lot about karma in this work, and we actually work, the actual work starts when you leave the class. So when we get together and we start the class, that's the easy part. Looking at the content and reading over the material, it can be very mind expanding and it can make no sense to you. And that's cool. If it doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Don't try to make sense of it, because much of it is made to play with your mind, to confuse your mind so much that it doesn't make sense, so that it puts you in such a state of confusion that higher self can then get through and start to work with you. That's some of what this work is designed to do, and some of the wording of this work is designed for that specific purpose. Okay, so the class itself is actually the easy part. It's when we finish the class and we go into our life that the work really starts. That's the really hard part, and that's why it's really good to have a program that is, you know, 8 weeks or longer. This is 8 weeks, and so that we can come back. First of all, the material is extremely intense. It takes, many people take this course 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times over and over and over, because it is so multidimensional, and they need to come back to speak to another level of their awareness for it to work on that level of awareness. So it is so intense. And that's it, you know, 8 weeks does not do it justice, but it's a start to launch you, to launch us into stepping into our higher self and our multidimensional nature, so that we can move on to into the split. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about the split again, and that is just to mention that the reason SIO is here now is because of the split. Because this is the last call, so to speak. This is the last call for humanity. It is, we're past the talk now, guys. We're actually in the implemental stage of this. And so this is the last call for those who have this in their contract to make this their last incarnation on the, we'll call it the old earth, I guess, for lack of a better word. And if we don't, okay, if you don't, and that's okay, if you don't ascend, that's cool, there's no issue with that, but you will not be going, you will be going on to another earth, whereas before you incarnated on this earth, okay, so you had this earth with you as your home base, and it was familiar. If we don't ascend, okay, then we're moving on to a new base, new territory, like being in a new country and not speaking the language. We're starting all over again. All over, and that's cool too. Okay, that is cool too. There's nothing wrong with that. But the work of SIO is here to bring awareness to people who have put that potential in their contract to move to the next level. So it is entirely up to you. And the split. So anybody who was born before January 1st, 2016. Okay, has the potential of moving up with this earth and has created it in their contract. Now, what that also means in this work is you have the potential to what I call die alive. Okay, so when we transition, let's use the word die. When we pass away and we die, okay, there's something called a life review, and a lot of people talk about something called a life review, where you look, where you get this panorama flashback of the major events that happened in your life, and you revisit those, but you revisit them in a way that you get to see what you have done to somebody, how you have impacted their life negatively or positively. So if you've hurt somebody, you will revisit that. Okay? And not only will you revisit that by seeing what you've done, you will actually be them. Because remember, they're only an aspect of you, right? So you will actually, in that dying process, in the dimension of 4D, you will actually jump into their body and experience exactly what they experienced here when you did what you did to them. Okay? Now we also also the very good things, we get to experience that too. Okay? But we're here to clear the negative. So I'm going to focus on the negative because that's what we must do if we want to ascend. Okay? So in the process of doing this work is like dying alive, because instead of dying and having our life review before us in the death process once we're gone, we're actually getting the opportunity to do that here physically in the life process, in our physical body, in our physical awareness, so that we can clear all of these lifetimes here. So that we can take our body with us. That's what, I guess you could say resurrection, I suppose, and ascension, the physical ascension is. We're physically, that's what the embodiment is. We're embodying our higher self vibration so that we're actually physically taking our body with us. We are not dying, so to speak, and going to the new earth from that level of awareness. Now you can do that too. That is an option. Okay. But, when we are doing this work, this is what we're looking to do, which is one of the greatest feats of the human experiment is to literally take, it's an incredible, incredible experience that you're offering up to source in doing this, to literally shift your body from the density of this carbon-based reality, and change into your light body version, which is your higher self, which is crystalline based, to literally do that in your this lifetime is absolutely astonishing. It is beyond words. It is absolutely beyond anything that can be described. So that's another reason why in doing this work, the dream work, is a lot of clearing of your other incarnations, because in making this your last incarnation, you will be clearing not just who you are in this life, so not just Sandra in this life, but all of the incarnations that I was in other lifetimes. Any karma that I need to clear is going to come through in this life for me to clear. That's why it's extraordinarily intense. An intense time to be here in this world at this time. And that's why this work is extremely intense. But again, there is nothing we can't handle. And if you've put this in your contract, you have also guaranteed and put all the tools and all the support that you will need to make this a success. 100%. You would not have put that in your contract if you did not give yourself the tools and the support to do it. Because what would happen is if you didn't have the tools and the support, you would die. And that would defeat the purpose. So you are given all the tools and all the support that you need in order to do this. So this work is literally the last stop on the incarnation, or the last door, as David Hawkins, the final door, as David Hawkins says, the final door to the gateway to ascension. So I hope this makes a lot of sense to people. Does anybody have any comments or questions that they want to ask? Cindy has a question. Cindy.
Hi, it's actually Sherry who has a question.
Okay, Sherry.
My question is actually about twin flames. I just wanted to ask about that because it's just something that felt like it needed to be said. But I feel like I've met my twin flame and it's been a very incredible experience as far as our energy, and it goes way, way beyond that. But I feel like, is it not true that a lot of people are starting to meet with their twin flame and leaving relationships behind, karmic relationships, and are finally ready for each other? And I was told by many people that not everyone will meet their twin flame in this lifetime, but I believe that because that whole shifting into one and everything and splitting and et cetera, whatever the terms are, that those are meeting their twin flame as one kind of grid soul to integrate in life together and grow spiritually so that they can use each other's energy as one and share it with the world and around them. And, you know, they stay together because of that and, like, they always work together type of thing. But I just wanted to ask, like, what is your perspective or information or downloading that takes place on the topic of twin flames at this time? And, like, yeah, pretty much.
So what I would say, Sherry, what I would say is at the end of the day, okay, it doesn't really matter about a twin flame. If everything, if according to, you know, tenets three and tenets four, everything is an aspect of you, that higher self brings lower self, you, so that you can actually clear, choose to clear, to move to zero point. It doesn't really matter. All you're telling me is that what you're calling a twin flame is invoking a very strong connection to you. Now, it might be an aspect of you that is here to help you step into your power and declare as opposed to just clear, okay? So they might be here to help you become more powerful, but they are no more instrumental than your worst enemy, which can help you to clear the biggest block. And that too could also be what's called a twin flame. At the end of the day, what I'm saying is it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that you focus on the next step. Trying to make sense, even the fact that you say, I believe this and I believe that, this work, okay, is about transcending belief systems altogether, moving out of a belief system into what we call a befeel system. Okay, so we don't want to believe anymore. I don't want you to believe me in this work. I don't want you to believe these tenets. I don't want you to believe anything I said tonight. I don't want you to believe you. The goal is to not believe anything, but to feel what resonates and what doesn't. And in that feeling, you will start to recognize what your truth is. So if somebody makes you feel good, then feel good about it. If somebody doesn't make you feel good, then you have a choice. You can release that and then feel good, because the emotional release is very, a lot of people say emotional release is so hard and so painful. Emotional release is not actually painful at all. It's the stifling, it's the stopping the emotion from being released that is painful. Anybody who eventually releases the emotion will tell you, oh my God, this feels amazing. What actually doesn't feel amazing is the not releasing of the emotion. If the releasing of the emotion, the actual coming up and coming out, feels unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's the fear of releasing the emotion that is what's creating the uncomfortable feeling. Right? And it's the judging that creates the uncomfortable feeling. So when you have somebody that doesn't make you feel good, then you have a choice at that point to either release that, or if you judge it, you actually put another layer on. So you have a choice of taking layers off or putting layers on at each and every point of resistance that you meet in your life. So in terms of your twin flame, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If it means it's somebody that you're integrating into your awareness so that you can expand in who you are, then that is awesome. But that is no different than anything else or anyone else. So I hope that that helps you. I hope that that makes sense to you. I just want to be careful, Sherry, that you don't get into all this mindizing and trying to figure things out. And when you do, you lose sight of what's in front of you, and you may lose the gift that is there for you to release or call awareness to that takes you to the next step. So I just don't want you to get hung up on that.
Yeah, like, I completely, like, agree 100% with what you're saying. It's just,
okay,
like, sometimes when I, like, try to integrate the words, like, the human words that come out of my mouth, sometimes we use, like, labels because that's how we can interpret and understand one another,
yeah,
like, on the human level, in a sense. But, like, I don't believe that a twin flame is, like, a twin flame necessarily. I believe it's just, like, exactly what you said, which is, I should have worded it more differently, but this person is, like, is just a reflection of me is what I'm trying to say. And it just feels like they're definitely here, like, to meet in this lifetime to work together, and that's just like.
Well, then you know, then honor that. That is incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you for sharing. That's an incredible question, and again, you know, wise beyond your years. We have aspects of us that will really, really help us to flourish through feeling good, and we have aspects of us that will really help us to flourish, if we choose, through feeling not so good. And that's the nature of this polarity, duality-based reality that we have decided to take part in and to play in. So, you know, yeah, of course, the fun ones are so much more fun to have around, but they all play a very, in fact, some of the dark aspects that I have had I'm so grateful for my brother, my sister. They tend to be our family, by the way. They tend to be very big ones, but they are huge, huge teachers. And when we can release those and turn those around, there's nothing like it. Your sense of how powerful you are. And by the way, if you are having a problem with somebody, okay, if you're having an issue with somebody, what do you do when you're having a problem with somebody? First thing you do is you don't talk to that person, you talk to higher self. If you can resolve the energetic issue that is behind, because every single aspect is only the physical drama of the non-physical energy that is driving that drama, okay? So if you can talk to higher self and clear the non-physical emotional charge, the non-physical energy that is driving that drama, okay, you literally can shift that person without even talking to them at all. All of a sudden, this person changes and they become completely different. And you're like, oh my God, what just happened here? And that was because you cleared it with higher self and didn't have to do a single thing with that person. And I've seen that happen many, 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 many times. It usually happens once you start doing this work, once you get into understanding the non-physical part of energy. But when that does happen, it is phenomenal beyond phenomenal. Jesse, I think you have a quick question.
Question and comment. I just want to thank you for being here today, and I also I wanted to more get onto the topic of having this my life's work and these realities, this creation that we do on a daily basis, and I want to make it to a point where I'm able to truly be free. And me and my mother, I can speak for her as well, because she's the one who has brought my spirit back to my body to remind me and start the process. And so I just want to, if you can expand a little bit on how we make this our daily work.
Okay, so a lot of people who are on the spiritual journey talk about our purpose. So I just want to talk a little. SIO is not about spiritual journeys. SIO actually is about consciousness. SIO, most of the New Age stuff and the spiritual stuff is I would call that spirituality. SIO is actually beyond spirituality into understanding consciousness. And I'm just going to explain that brief what that is, and then I'll answer your question, Jesse. So religion is man's interpretation of spirituality. And religion is for people who are pretty much 0 to 50% self-realized, okay? So that's the beginning of the actual mind programming of the experiment, of this human experiment. So religion actually serves to separate us and create more ego. And that is the 0 to 50% of humans who are becoming, who are self-realized. We're starting to become aware of the control system. When we move into the next stage from religion is now spirituality. Spirituality, so religion is man's interpretation of spirituality. Spirituality is man's interpretation of himself. And that's the 51 to, I'd say, 85% of self-realization. So when people are at the 51 to 85% level, that's when they move into spirituality. And that's where much of the spiritual work is and all of the spiritual teachings lie. It's still very, very ego-based. It's still very duality-based. It's still very separation-based. It's still very money-oriented. And it's still very sell-oriented. It's still very hierarchy. When we move into the next level, this is where we're moving into consciousness, and this is the level of SIO. This is where we move into, so religion is man's interpretation of spirituality. Spirituality is man's interpretation of himself. Consciousness is is understanding the true nature of reality and applying that understanding in the focused awareness that makes up you, in whatever you are. So for me, it's the focused awareness that makes up the human known as Sandra. And for all of you, it's for the focused awareness that is made up of you. Okay, so it's so when you become conscious, the difference between conscious and spirituality is spirituality still being identified with your own sense of self, your own ego identity. So you are still working on yourself as separate from others. And so you still have an idea, a concept. You're still in your thinking of who you think you should be. So when you behave in a certain way, you behave the way you think you should behave, how a spiritual person will behave. You always try to take the high road. For instance, a lot of spiritual people say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to judge you. That's your thing. I shouldn't judge you. Okay? Because that's very common in the spiritual sectors. We don't judge others. Okay, when we move to, and that works, and that is true, that is accurate. At that level of awareness, that is accurate. When you move into consciousness, okay, and understanding the nature of reality, then you are moving into, away from judgment, into discernment, okay? So when you are in spirituality and you're still judging, you're basically saying, okay, I don't want to judge you because I don't want to create separation. Okay, when in truth you are creating separation because you don't want to judge the person. Okay, because what you're saying is I'm not comfortable with what you're doing, but I'm not because the very fact that I'm saying I don't want to judge you means I am feeling separate from you. You're saying one thing, I'm doing something else, but I don't want to call that out, so I'm just going to continue to feel separate. When you move into consciousness, okay, now you're saying, you know what? I see you're doing something I don't want to do. I'm not judging you. I'm declaring me. I'm discerning what you're doing, and I'm declaring me, and I'm saying, okay, I don't like what you're doing because it's not who I'm choosing to become, okay? So this doesn't feel good. I'm confident enough in saying I don't like what you're doing, but I'm not judging you for it. I'm declaring me, okay? And the way you will know the difference between spirituality and consciousness is you will have no emotional charge. You, in that declaration, when you say that, you don't care if they continue to behave the way they behave. Whereas when you're in spirituality, you don't want to say something because you're afraid you're going to impose on them. When you're in consciousness, you are not, it's not about imposing on them. You're not imposing on them. You're just saying you are stopping them from imposing on you. Okay, and so now you are calling out that which is not you, which is no longer who you are. And in order to do that, you have to separate that to integrate. So basically, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I don't like what you're doing. If you want to do that, you can do that. I don't have an issue with that. But that's no longer who I choose to become. I still accept you as you are, but it's no longer who I become. And by doing that, you've transmuted that energy. So now you've actually separated something in order to integrate it into your, and assimilate it into your awareness. And that's one of the examples in the difference of being conscious. So consciousness can go. Consciousness has absolutely no concern of being somebody they think they should be. Consciousness is always who they are in that moment, when they are who they need to be in that moment for whoever it is they need to be it. That's the difference between consciousness and spirituality. So that also means from a person who is conscious as opposed to a person who is spiritual can jump all levels of awareness at any given moment in time and can go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because they just become this vessel to transmute. They just become a transmuting machine. And that's what consciousness is, okay? And that's what, in terms of the human experiment, okay, which is what we are, okay, this is about... at the level of consciousness, okay, you are aware of being the experimentee and the experimentor, okay? So now you are actually becoming the experiment. You are actually the experiment of the experiment you are experimenting in, if that makes any sense. And then you move into the consciousness of the consciousness, which becomes the experiment itself. And then you are all of it. You are all of it, if that makes any sense. And when you move into consciousness, conscious of the consciousness, you move into that 99% to 100% self-realized. And at that point, you become the embodiment of your higher self, which is your multidimensional nature, which is in the more, you know, popular notion, the I am state or the Christ consciousness or the figure we know as Jesus. You literally become that. You are the embodiment of all that. And that's all the Jesus figure was. It was just somebody who showed us the fifth dimensional, our light body version of who we are, who we all have the power to become. Just quickly, Jesse, to talk about purpose. Okay, our purpose. People who do spirituality talk about what is my purpose? What is my purpose? And again, you're jumping the gun by not appreciating who you are in this moment and instead focusing on who you should be. And you can't be who you should be if you can't be who you are. Okay, so the purpose in this moment is to clear your emotions. Clear your emotions. Clear your emotions. Get to 0 point. And then when you do that, you will find out what your purpose is. Your next purpose. Our purpose right now is to experience emotions, and those who are moving into ascension is to clear our emotions in whatever way that is. If it's to work as a janitor, it's to work as a janitor. If it's to be a hairdresser, it's to be a hairdresser. If it's to be a speaker, it's to be a speaker. If it's to be a police officer, that's what it is. Okay, when you get to 0 point, then you move into another level of awareness, which shows you the next level in your journey. Okay, in truth, there is no purpose other than expressing and experiencing who you are in each and every moment, period. That's all. There is no goal. There is no journey. I mean, no destination. There is just the journey. It's the process of becoming. That's it. That's our purpose in each and every moment. Okay, I don't think we have any more questions, so I think we're good for tonight. Thank you guys so much for being a part of it, and I wish you a great, great, great evening. Love. Blessings. Good night.